John Trumpa lived for 9 years after Atisha's death. He too was an extraordinary person. He kept Atisha's disciples together, he preserved his teaching, and he founded a monastery near Lhasa to act as a centre, a spiritual centre, so to speak, for the movement of spiritual regeneration inaugurated by Atisha. And he founded there what became known as the Kadamba School of Tibetan Buddhism. This school was firmly based on Atisha's teaching and his example. And it was called the Kadampa School because it was based on the word Ka in Tibetan of the Buddha, Vacha or Vajna in Sanskrit. That is to say, it was based on all the teachings of the Buddha as contained in all the Buddhist scriptures. Like Atisha, the Kadampa school accepted all the Buddhist scriptures, both Hinayana and Mahayana, when it drew inspiration and guidance from them all. The attitude of the Kadampa school thus was, we may say, ecumenical or non-sectarian. It also paid particular attention to six non-canonical works, six shastras as they're called, and two were by Asanga, the Yogacara Bhumi, and the Mahayana Sutra Alankara. And there were two by Shantideva, the Siksha Samuchaya, and the Bodhicharya Avatara. Quite a few of you will be familiar with at least some of those works. And also the other two to which the school gave particular attention were the Jatakas, recounting the story of the Buddha's previous lives, and the Udana Varga, a sort of anthology roughly corresponding to the Dhammapada in Pali. Naturally, the Kadamba school studied Atisha's own writings, especially the Bodhipatha Pradipa. The Kadamba school is of very great historical importance. 3 centuries later, it became the basis for Tsongkhapa's Gelugpa school. And the Gelugpa school is also therefore known not just as the Gelugpa school, but as the new Kadampa school. And the Gelugpa school, of course, became the dominant school of Tibetan Buddhism to which the Dalai Lamas belonged. But there's no time to go into all that this evening. I think I've covered a good deal of ground, even if I haven't reached that two-hour limit. Yeah? We've seen something of the state of Buddhism in India and Tibet in the 10th and 11th centuries. We've seen something of the life and work of a very great Buddhist of that period. We've appreciated, perhaps, how fortunate we are today to have such easy access to the Dharma in all its forms. We've seen perhaps how important it is that we should follow the path of regular steps, seen how important that we should make full use of our spiritual opportunities. So let us rejoice in the merits of Atisha. Let us be thankful for the example he has given us. Let us try to imbibe a little of his spirit of self-sacrifice. Let us too try to give, in our own measure, a life for the Dharma.